to the award-winning Texas Outdoor News. 60 minutes of news, interviews, hints, and insight into the great outdoors. Now your hosts, Harold Gunn and Bill Olson.
And good morning to you. This is Harold Gunn, and Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. And today, we're going to be bringing you outdoor news from throughout the state as well as the nation, along with the best for fishing, hunting, and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Texas. This is Bill Olson. Hope everybody's having a great weekend as fall weather continues slowly settle into the Lone Star State.
Wonderful mornings.
Yeah, this weekend we continue our annual waltz across Texas. Our guest are going to be Mason Connolly of Tyler, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader for that area, and District Leader Bobby Eichler from LaGrange. So they'll be providing updates, plus reminiscing a little bit about things that have happened in those districts historically. We've got outdoor reports, plus a whole bunch more. So y'all do stick around, and remember, you're listening to your reliable information source for the great outdoors, Texas Outdoor News.
When Texas hurts, Texans help. And right now, our Hill Country neighbors are recovering from devastation caused by flash flooding over the July 4th holiday. This is Dennis Quaid. Today, we're asking for your help. Would you please contribute some of that money in your wallet or on your phone or even write a check to help Kerr County Flood Relief? Look up communityfoundation.net to contribute. That's communityfoundation.net, from one Texan to another. Thanks.
Someone is stealing Texas wildlife, and the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department needs your help to stop it. Every time a poacher strikes, it is theft, pure and simple. Poaching also impairs your ability to enjoy your wildlife resources. Whether you hunt, fish, or just enjoy the wonders of Texas wildlife, now to many, there is nothing lower than a poacher, and we have a way to deal with it. It's called Operation Game Thief. Operation Game Thief was established in 1981 as a means for you to help Texas game wardens stop illegal hunting and fishing. A toll-free number is your link to Operation Game Thief. 1-800-792-GAME. That's 1-800-792-GAME. If a report results in apprehension and conviction, Operation Game Thief will pay rewards up to $1,000. Something else for you to know, Operation Game Thief is funded entirely by private donations. That means we need your tax-deductible financial support. To find out how to become a sponsoring member of Operation Game Thief or to report a hunting or fishing violation, call 1-800-792-GAME.
If your child has a common orthopedic condition, that doesn't mean you can only get common treatments. You can choose Shriners Children's. Our world-class care is not limited to insurance networks or to what's been done before. The same doctors who innovate treatments for the most complicated orthopedic issues will help your child grow and develop properly. See what we do at ShrinersChildrens.org. Shriners Children's, the most amazing care anywhere.
You're listening to Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn. We do appreciate you making us a part of your weekend plans. And, Harold, it's kind of fun.
Yes.
It's getting cooler.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing a lot of hunters out running around looking for a bush to rub up against with their head, you know, emulating the buck activity,
right.
You know.
Well, the weather does affect us, too.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. You know, we talk a lot about whitetail season, obviously, but Parks and Wildlife biologists have released information predicting a favorable season for waterfowl hunters. And this is important because this year we had an abbreviated early teal season because of poor nesting conditions. But their report said abundant population numbers and above average rainfall during the summer months is a confidence booster for hunters preparing for the start of the new waterfowl hunting season. Texas Parks and Wildlife Department biologists indicate that teal, gadwall, widgeon, pintails, shovelers, and redheads, all key duck species for Texas hunters, are collectively plentiful and show population increases this summer. Now, one thing it does not say, and maybe we can get some information from them once we get through this waltz across Texas, is with population numbers looking better,
right,
like for teal, we had early indication that next year the numbers from the feds indicated we'd once again have an abbreviated season. But maybe we'll do a little bit better. Hunters are going to benefit from the new three-bird daily bag limit for pintails. Pintails had long been, you know, way low. But a recent analysis confirmed that pintails are more numerous than the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service May Waterfowl Breeding Population and Habitat Survey detected. I wonder if the people that were counting pintails used to count red snapper. On to another thought. On the weather front, the above average summer rainfall resulted in numerous reservoirs and stock ponds holding more water. Of course, all this is really going to be dependent on what kind of cold weather occurs up north and to push birds, you know, on south toward the coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got any national news?
Well, I got some local. First, though, I want to congratulate the Houston Gun Collectors Association because they're having their 75th anniversary gun show. It's going on this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Marriott Houston West Chase. That's at 2900 Briar Park Drive in Houston. $15 day pass or $20 for the whole weekend. Children for 12 are under free. And if you join the Houston Gun Collectors, then you can get in free. Tickets in advance at hgca.org. It's just easier to just go right in through the door. They're presenting an arms exhibition and sale of antique, historic, and collectible classic arms, curios, and relics, militaria, and related items from all eras of history, with nothing newer in this show than 50 years old. So it's really a big special show filled with a lot of classic stuff, and there's going to be a special silent auction on this Saturday. So come to buy, to trade, or come to sell. That's the Houston Gun Collectors Association 75th Anniversary Gun Show going on this weekend at the Marriott Houston West Chase.
All right, what else you got?
Well, allergies are really backing up.
No, news-wise.
Oh. Okay. Midway USA, great people. Their foundation awards $14+ million in cash grants. To commemorate August National Shooting Sports Month, Midway USA Foundation announced the distribution of more than $14.2 million in cash grants to support youth shooting sports in 2025. This record-breaking year includes multiple programs offered by the foundation, including coach training, range development, organizational and team grants, youth shooting teams. They received $7.7 million in cash.
Well, I didn't realize. I had heard it, that Texas has a centennial time capsule.
Yes.
And it's moving around the to all the state parks. And it's making its stomp at the Davis Mountain State Park. It's part of its 50-year trek to every state park across the Lone Star State. The time capsule, which houses one object from every state park and support programs, went on display at Mother Nest State Park in April. And so it's going to be out the Davis Mountains, which is newly remodeled.
Uh-huh.
And the lodge is newly remodeled. So is the restaurant. Pretty right. Cool. And great country. If you've not been out to check out that Trans-Pecos region, you really owe it to yourself. What a great few days to day trip and do some touring up there.
What does it say where the time capsule is going to wind up?
No, that's oh. No. We're dealing with government press release here.
Oh, okay. Well, of course, not too much information, please.
No. But the 5-foot-tall wooden time capsule weighs more than 300 pounds and was made from pecan trees harvested at Mother Neff State Park.
Okay.
The site widely accepted as the first Texas state park open to the public. And is made from solid wood and bronze and is large enough to hold more than 100 items. They had room for you, Harold.
Thank you so very much. He's so well preserved.
Yeah, right. What else you got in the way of news?
Well, we got some stuff here. This is you wonder this day and age why it still goes on. Now, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania signed a bill lifting restrictions on Sunday hunting and bringing Pennsylvania in line with the vast majority of states. Their sporting heritage, this increased opportunities for those people. It's a great deer hunting up there. With time at a premium for working families, allowing this additional weekend day is critical for creating opportunities for young Pennsylvanians to be introduced to hunting and appreciation of Pennsylvania's outdoor traditions. Kind of hard to believe in 2025 that there would still be states that have no hunting on Sunday.
I was surprised when I was looking and hunting outside of Texas and starting that trek how many there were that didn't hunt on Sundays.
Right.
And I'm going, what's the deal with that? Of course, I also remember when stores were not open on Sundays.
I do remember that, too. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
All right. Listen, we need to move along with the show as we've got Bobby Eichler and Mason Connolly, two district leaders, with us later in the program. So you all stick around.
America's best-selling truck for 48 years running is Ford. These people work hard every day to build the best trucks. Trucks you need. Trucks with the best-in-class payload and towing. Ha ha! But you're not going to see them celebrate these 48 years with a lot of fireworks and party hats, because it's not about them. It's about you. It's about building the trucks you depend on to get the job done. That's how they built them yesterday. That's how they build them today. And most importantly, that is how they will build them tomorrow. America's best-selling truck for 48 years, Ford's F-Series. Built Ford tough, the best in Texas.
Hey, y'all, Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey, to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Friends, now you can listen to Texas Outdoor News worldwide on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora. The country's favorite outdoor show, directly from your iPhone, Android, Kindle, PC, Mac, and more, on demand and on the go. Download the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Pandora apps, or go to Google and search Texas Outdoor News, or just go to TexasOutdoorNews.com and click on the tabs. Then listen anytime, anywhere.
And welcome back to Texas Outdoor News. Harold Gunn along with Bill Olson. This portion of our program is brought to you by The Blind, and that is B-L-Y-N-D. For decades, the original blind has been known for its long-lasting durability that will not fail in the field, while providing comfortable concealment at an affordable price. The Blind has been a bestseller for over 43 years, with more than 75,000 sold since 1980. Plus, the Blind's iconic design and construction are so good that original models bought over 35 years ago are still being used today. I've got several models I've had over 20 years that are still being used today. And now they introduce its next generation, the VersaBlind, and I just got one of those at my place. It is amazing. Just as the name implies, the VersaBlind satisfies the needs for any hunting discipline: rifle, bow, pistol, black powder, and more. Its newly designed spacious configuration provides more room, but on the same footprint. Its windows allow greater visibility, versatility, and increased shot options to harvest game. Plus, hunters now have the room to truly set up for a steady shot. See the original blind, VersaBlind, towers, tie downs, their new cottonseed feeder, and other accessories at blind.com. Remember, since 1980, it is the Blind, and again, that is B-L-Y-N-D. Dealer inquiries are welcomed.
If you're looking to buy a hunting blind, you need to take a look at that blind. The configuration of the windows are such that it'll fit Harold.
Yes.
And me.
Correct.
Or anybody in between.
Yeah, that's
you
great.
Know?
That's great.
It is absolutely phenomenal and extremely durable. You can see the entire blind lineup at Barron's Farm and Feed in Fredericksburg, all four Carter's Country locations in the greater Houston area, D&D Hardware in LaGrange, Ebar Feeds locations in LaGrange, in Gonzales and Hallettsville, Gibson's in Kerrville, Moore's Farm and Ranch Supply in Brady, and we've got Moore's Shooting Sports in Kingsbury, plus West Texas Game Feeders in San Angelo and Wilford Enterprises, two locations, one in Koontz and the other in Buna.
Okay, checking the Texas Outdoors Journal, Fishing and Hunting Times. This weekend, Saturday's rated as good. This Sunday and Monday are our two best days of the week.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a trio of good ones. Friday slips to fair. Next weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, are good days. This weekend, on Saturday, look for game to be most active from mid-afternoon until the evening hours well after sunset. This Sunday, plus Monday and Tuesday, major time shift occurs with game actively feeding from well before sunrise until late morning. On Wednesday and Thursday, this feeding activity will begin either side of sunrise, continue until either side of the noon hour. Friday and next Saturday and Sunday, we'll see this most active period occur from mid-morning until early afternoon. On Monday, October the 13th, the moon will enter its last quarter phase. On the coast, this Saturday has a single tide schedule of one high and one low. This Sunday has a single low tide as the only tide of the day. Monday through Wednesday, a single tide schedule resumes daily. Thursday through next Sunday, a string of days with a double tide schedule of two high, two lows each day.
On the coast, fishing has been pretty good. The biggest complaint that has been a resounding chorus is tides are high. Mm. However, that has pushed water into the back lake and marsh areas. And who was I talking to? I think it was Tommy Koontz. Mm. We were talking about some of the back lake areas, and I go, what fun is that kind of fishing?
Yes.
To get back into the back lakes and just looking for grass movement as right. those fish are moving back on the edges. Of course, once the north winds get a little bit stronger, we'll start to see those areas water empty out, and you'll want to fish at the mouths. Over on Calcasieu, as well as Sabine Lake, they kind of fish similarly in that lots of shrimp are working, and you've got trout, redfish, and increasing numbers of flounder mixed in. Gold spoons have been a good option. In the Galveston Bay complex, you got a choice of places to fish and opportunities to fish. But be looking shallow as temperatures continue to come down. In West Galveston Bay, fun place and place that I grew up fishing just a whole bunch. Down around San Luis Pass, south of Karankawa Reef, it's a sand bottom. And you get over to Cole Pass that connects to Christmas and Bastrop, or you can make a run up Chocolate Bayou in Chocolate Bay. Mid-coast areas on further south around Matagorda, good fishing, drifting shell reefs in East Bay and in West Bay, working those shorelines and guts along the peninsula. Port O'Connor to San Antonio Bay, lots of opportunities there. With plenty of reefs and shorelines. Rockport, Port A down to Redfish Bay. Good fishing taking place. Actually, this is a time of year where I don't want to jinx anybody, but you ought to have a good opportunity to catch fish. And certainly as we continue to, with each passing day, it's going to get only better. Baffin Bay, they were saying that the fishing has been stellar. Early hours are best in 2 to 3 foot of water, throwing topwaters, soft plastics. Port Mansfield, the other side of the land cut, good fishing's taking place, even with the higher water levels. And Sabine, you've got some nice snook in South Bay during very calm days. Don't forget, you've got state waters out to 9 nautical miles with some really impressive red snapper. Mm. If you fish state waters and you catch some smaller fish, release them. Let them go. Let them get bigger.
Right.
And then continue to look around for some bigger fish because they're out there.
Wonderful.
What's going on in lakes?
Well, it's at East Texas. Caddo. Bass are schooling all over the lake. And in the river and bio systems, catch bass on the lake with a fluke, chatterbait, swim bait, or frogs. Fish in the river can be caught on swim baits, drop shots, and light Texas rigs in June bug color. Some bass relating to lily pads and grass can be caught on topwater frogs. Conroe catfishing has been good in 10 to 25 feet of water on baited holes using catfish bubble gum, cured liver, worms, punch bait. Bass are hitting early along the edges and later on offshore structures up to 20 feet deep. Fork. Bass are good with Yellow Magic and Buzzbait topwaters around grass and Rage swimmers around grass in 1 to 4 feet of water. Carolina rigs are good on points and tree lines in 10 to 12 feet of water. Bass are beginning to school in open water. Black crappie are loading up at the base of trees, some brush piles, underwater bridges, and should see them on bridges soon. Look for those fish in 13 to 22 feet of water. Lake of the Pines, crappie are good. They're on flats off the river channel in 15 to 22 feet of water with 2-inch crappie jigs. Livingston catfish are good with cut bait. Bass can be targeted on structure with Carolina rig worms. Look for schooling bass and cast topwaters. Sam Rayburn, lake is slowly falling, creating a lot of humps in shallow areas, so boaters should use caution there. Crappie are starting to stack up on brush and timber. White bass are schooling off points. Catfish have moved into deeper water and creek channels with cut bait working well. Bodarg, bass are good with buzz baits, topwater frogs, choppos, poppers, early around pond weed. Mid-morning switch to square-bill crankbaits and chatterbaits around old pond dams and 3 to 7 feet of water. Bass are good on Texas rigs, but best on creature baits around big timber and bushes on flats in 7 to 12 feet. Crappie are excellent on break lines in 15 to 25 feet of water, up creek channels leading out of the coves to Palestine. Crappie are good in 8 to 16 feet of water on brush, timber, and boathouses using hand-tied jigs. Catfish are excellent in 3 to 12 feet of water. Cut bait, punch baits working. Bass are good around boathouses and vegetation at the backs of creeks. Bait fish are transitioning to the backs of those creeks. Tewakinee, hybrid stripers and white bass. It's a good bite. The fish are moving hard, looking for good pockets of water. Fish main lake points in 8 to 15 feet using inline spinners and slab spoons. The eating size catfish bite is still red hot. Easy limits on half-day trips are the standard right now. Baited holes in 15 to 20 feet of water using prepared baits such as punch or dip baits is what's working. Whitney, catfish are good using punch bait in 20 to 25 feet of water. Striped bass are good with live bait in 25 feet of water or topwater baits where fish are schooling. Crappie are in the main lake brush in 15 to 30 feet of water. Largemouth bass are good using soft plastics on deep structures.
Heading to South Texas, out Del Rio way, where Amistad Reservoir bass anglers are finding success either shallow out to 5 feet of water or in deeper water, 25 feet and more. Shallow action has been good on soft plastics flipped or pitched into new vegetation, and this lake has come out. This is that was a reference to the newly flooded vegetation, as well as slow-moving topwaters like frogs and walking becks. Choke Canyon, still only got one ramp that is open. However, crappie and white bass fishing is excellent right now, with black bass just rated as fair. Bank fishing has been very good. Brownwood, black bass to 7.69 pounds are good in 3 to 8 feet of water on topwater frogs in the shoreline grass with some fish on flukes, chatterbait, crankbaits, and jigs in 5 to 12 feet of water. Coleman, crappie are good to 2 pounds on jigs and minnows in 10 to 15 feet of water on the main lake around the docks. Meredith, largemouth bass and smallmouth bass are great with white crankbaits. Green-jointed Rapalas and topwater lures. Catfish are good on the dock. Blue West and Harbor Bay with minnows, worms, stink bait, and frozen shrimp. Walleye, guess what, Harold?
What?
Great fishing.
Ah.
Still.
And great eating.
Yeah, throughout the day on jigs and blue pearl and chartreuse grubs.
Heading to the hill country, LBJ, bass are good with white spinner baits in the mornings around shallow structure. As the sun rises, the fish are moving to deeper main lake points. A Texas rig worm and drop shot, they've produced. Travis, bass are following shad into the mouths of creeks and coves. Bass are also feeding on flats and shallow ledges around larger boulders. Throwing worms, creature baits, jigs, or small to medium-sized swim baits around these places will get you a bite.
All right, heading to the hunting scene where bow hunters are out having a field day. And some really good reports have come in from Heart of Texas Bow Hunting, our friend that operate that, Kevin Burleson, former fishing guide from O.H. Ivy.
Yeah.
Learned a lot from that guy, but producing some really good bow hunting. Dove season continues, north zone through November 9. Early dove season, that's first split, in the central zone. And as well as the south zone, Mule deer archery season in the Panhandle continues through November 21st. And, of course, you know, on November 1st, Harold.
Yes.
Whitetail deer season and the general Rio Grande turkey season will open.
Wonderful.
All right, what you been driving?
On and off the road. Not exactly rock climbing, but, you know, could if you got carried away. It's the 2025 Toyota Grand Highlander Nightshade Hybrid, good gas mileage, all-wheel drive, 2.5-liter four-cylinder engine, but it's pumping out 362 horsepower, 3,500 pounds of towing, all-wheel drive with their trail mode, track mode, mud, rock, eco, sport settings, so it's very, very capable. Good old big 20-inch alloy wheels on this puppy, hands-free power liftgate, which comes in handy. Rain-sensing wipers, I like that. Heated, ventilated power front seats, second-row seats, third-row seats, fold-down, split 60-40. A lot of space inside this thing. Three-zone AC for comfort. 13 cup and bottle holders, Bob. Hey, it's like the old days. Anyway, panoramic view monitor on this thing, panoramic roof, mud guards, logo side puddle lamps, wheel locks, loaded with lots of stuff. Like I say, skid plates are optional on this thing, but it'll do it. It's a whopper, loaded to the gills. We're getting still, because of the hybrid powertrain, 36 miles per gallon in town, 32 on the highway. Retail, loaded to the gills on this one is 58. Good-looking vehicle, very capable, good ride. The 25 Toyota Grand Highlander Nightshade Hybrid All-Wheel Drive.
So you like those wipers that are sensitive to rain, huh?
I like that. Yes, I do.
Well, let me tell you.
Yes?
When you see little droplets on your windshield, mm-hmm. It's raining.
Yes.
Yeah. Turn your wipers on.
You probably know how to use a horn, too.
I guarantee I do. I drive in Houston for sure. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're heading to Tyler, Texas. Mason Conley, our district leader, is going to give an update.
Join Texas Trophy Hunters and SCI January 9th through the 11th for the biggest hunting and outdoor show in Dallas, Texas at the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. Book the hunt of a lifetime with trusted outfitters from all over the world. Join us for raffles, auctions, and nightly events with live entertainment, and find all the gear you need for your next adventure at the Outdoors Extravaganza, January 9th through the 11th. Get tickets today at OutdoorsExtravaganza.com. Brought to you by Texas Trophy Hunters and SCI.
I'm Sinequa Martin Green, and when my mother was diagnosed with cancer, our world changed forever. This experience made me so passionate about spreading awareness of treatment options, including clinical trials. I'm joining Stand Up to Cancer to get information to those who have been diagnosed with cancer and their loved ones. Clinical trials introduce new hope for patients, providing access to cutting-edge new treatments. Talk to your doctor to see if a clinical trial may be the best choice for you or a loved one. To learn more, visit standuptocancer.org/clinical-trials today.
The weather is warm, the winds have laid, and fishing across Texas is heating up. Whether it's fresh or saltwater fishing, Texas Outdoors Journal is your best source of timely tips, salinar and tide tables, plus updates on patterns that'll keep you on fish. And even though it's prime time for fishing, Texas Outdoors Journal lets hunters know of off-season hunting opportunities, how to improve one's skills, plus ways to support and pass on our hunting and shooting heritage. These are a couple of reasons why, since 1992, Texas Outdoors Journal has perennially been named the top outdoor magazine in Texas. No other publication can make a similar claim of sustained excellence. Plus, we know there's 12 months in a year, not something less, so you'll get a copy every month. Prove it to yourself by picking up a copy of Texas Outdoors Journal at your local newsstand, or better yet, subscribe and save off the cover price. To subscribe securely online using a major credit card, visit TexasOutdoorsJournal.com or call 713-957-3997.
We're back with Texas Outdoor News. Bill Olson along with Harold Gunn, and this portion of the program is brought to you by Spear Ag in Uvalde, Texas. You know, you might say agriculture's in the blood of Spear Ag owners Justin and Clyde Spear. Since the time the brothers were born, they've been actively involved in both farming and ranching. Just like you when you were a kid going to the feed store with your grandpa on a Saturday, today Spear Ag brings that feeling back to life plus a whole lot more. Spear Ag is redefining what the country and feed store is all about. Spear Ag and Feeder Max Feed Wildlife products still hold to those values today. Spear Ag is a home of bagged cottonseed. They sell in bulk. Plus, they've got a 26-truck delivery service that'll bring it to you. Spear Ag is also your one source for all ranch, animal, and wildlife supplies, carrying a full line of feed for cattle, horses, sheep, goats, wildlife, and pets. And it's all housed in the brand new 52,000 square foot.
Starting from what?
1,000.
Yeah.
52,000 square foot retail store and plant. For ranching and agricultural services, visit spearag.com. For more information on Spear Ag's FeederMax lineup of wildlife blends and cottonseed, visit feedermaxfeed.com or just give them a call at 830-279-6156. A couple of weeks ago, we visited with Rusty Wood, district leader out of Jasper. Talked about the southern part of East Texas. Now we're heading to Tyler, where district leader Mason Connolly is there. And Mason, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. How are y'all?
Doing good. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in that northeast Texas area in your district. Coming out of last season, what kind of harvest and any carryover did you all have on white-tailed deer?
You know, last year was an okay year for harvest. It was about average as far as across the board and what numbers we see. And this year, you know, I think it should be a good year for harvest at least. Spring conditions were pretty mild, and as far as heat waves go, and we had rain carrying throughout the spring and summer, and so conditions are looking great. So I expect healthy deer running around.
You know, you've had plenty of rain in your area through the start of this year. What is the mass crop looking like? Is it going to be a productive one?
Well, I hope so. I'm already starting to see acorns fall and hit the ground, and so I don't know if it's going to be a bumper year like we had several years back, but I expect to be plenty of mast on the ground, especially with the conditions we had in spring and summer. So at least average or maybe above average, I'd expect.
We talk about conditions with antler growth starting in the spring, and mama deer putting babies on the ground, you know, late spring, early summer. Pretty good reproduction and pretty good fawning. How about our survival rate? What does that look like?
Yes, sir. So fawns have hit the ground well this year. Again, with this mild summer and the spring and summer conditions we had, reproduction was good. So I expect to see plenty of young deer running around this year, which really sets us up for pretty decent hunting seasons moving forward for the next probably 4 or 5 years. I'd expect that 4 to 5 year mark to see some nice mature bucks running around with some healthy antlers just because they had such a good start early on in life.
Mason, this is Harold. How are things looking up there for the turkey population?
Well, you know, turkeys have a rough go of it, especially in the Tyler area south of here, down into, say, Anderson-Leon County. But you get up around the Red River, we still got plenty of turkeys kind of holding strong for the most part on that Oklahoma border. Dipping into Rusty's country, the Piney Woods, we have a little bit more eastern wild turkeys, but we're trying to repopulate where we can in areas that we consider suitable habitat, big, large tracts of land. And so we are giving it our best to try and get turkeys back in East Texas and this part of the world.
Well, speaking of East Texas and talking about the mast crop and all those acorns, how are we doing for one of my favorites, squirrels?
I knew squirrel was going to come up. You know, I figured squirrels should be looking good. I know I've seen plenty run around, a lot of young squirrels as well, and so they kind of follow their food a lot of times. And so when there's plenty of food out there and the conditions we've got, I think we'll have plenty of squirrels running around, and it is a soft spot in my heart as well.
You know, that country was so heavily subdivided, and populations really got out of control. Then with the antler restriction, that's really made a big change, and we've seen some big bucks come out of some of that bottom country, haven't we?
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. When I was a biologist formerly, a little bit further south of here, you know, those river bottoms and areas that would manage their properties well, you know, keeping the doe numbers in check, trying to keep their buck-to-doe ratios in check, we would have some really nice deer come out.
Just got a report from Austin, Parks and Wildlife biologists, were talking about the upcoming waterfowl season and water being caught. I know you've got some areas where lakes are being drawn down for some work being done, but some of those backwater sloughs that attract woodies and mallards coming in, what shape are they in?
You know, right now things are starting to dry out a little bit. It's been a slow start as far as migration out of Canada and the Prairie Pothole region, so it may be a slower start to the year, but I think once we get some cooler weather up north, and if we can ever get some rain here pretty soon, we'll start catching water again and be in good shape. But right now it's lower than it probably normally is, and that's okay. That allows more food to grow, and when we do catch that rain and when those ducks do come down, I think we'll be in good shape.
Harold, I'm surprised you haven't asked about one of your other favorite game animals.
Pigs! Yeah. Got any pigs? You got any pigs left up there?
Yeah. We've got plenty of pigs. You want some?
Yeah. Well, you know, we need to encourage people to hunt those things. I think we need to do that by giving them a piece of sausage.
Ah, I'm telling you. Yeah, right? It might change some minds. It might be some motivation.
That's right.
Hey, in your part of the state, there's more and more conversation about a critter that's invading Texas, you know, could be from Oklahoma, could be from Arkansas. What's going on with black bears? Have y'all seen many sightings when y'all were out doing your work this year?
Well, so we've got one that's kind of hanging around the southern part of, say, Anderson and Cherokee counties. We don't really know exactly where it came from. Now, we could make assumptions, but that's all they are, assumptions. But we've got one that's still hanging around. It's been here since probably mid-summer or towards the late end of summer. Just kind of been kicking around for the past few months, staying in kind of a localized area. And, you know, we've been trying to educate landowners and lease hunters and outdoorsmen and women of just kind of how to bear-proof your feeders and bear-proof your area. But for right now, we've just got one down the southern portion of the district. But, you know, up along the Oklahoma border, kind of those Red River, Fannin, Lamar counties, we have more bear sightings a little bit more often. But for the most part, we do not have a resident bear population in northeast Texas. We've just got the one that's hanging out for whatever reason.
Well, I think it's just a matter of time.
Yes, I think so.
And y'all will have something else to deal with. And we remind folks here on Texas Outdoor News that you see a black animal?
Be careful.
Be real careful. Make sure it's a pig and not a bear. Okay.
Absolutely, yes, sir.
One final thing before we let you go: how about public hunting opportunities in and around your district?
You know, we're blessed to be in this portion of the state where we have probably some of the most public public land in Texas versus anywhere else in the state. So we've got public land anywhere from, say, Lufkin, Nacogdoches area all the way up to Lamar County. And so there's plenty of public land access and hunting opportunities. Now, a lot of that goes through our draw system. But, you know, good thing and I guess bad thing, however you want to look at it, a lot of those people don't show up. Standby hunting is an option. And so I would say check with your local project leader or on our annual public hunting permit website and see if there are standby hunts or standby spots available and give it a go.
Very good. Our first guest today from Tyler, Texas, Texas Parks and Wildlife District Leader Mason Conley. Mason, appreciate you joining us today.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
All right, from Tyler, we're heading to LaGrange and Bobby Eichler right after this.
You're listening to the state's most honored outdoor radio show, Texas Outdoor News.
We continue our waltz across Texas as we head to LaGrange and Texas Parks and Wildlife. Bobby Eichler joins us. Bobby, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing good. What about you?
Oh, doing great. I tell you what, every time I talk to you fellas out of LaGrange, brings back a soft spot because I spent a lot of time in that Colorado County, Fayette, Austin County area. Just good folks and good opportunities. Of course, a lot of pressure being located where y'all are from Houston and Austin and surrounding areas. Coming out of last hunting season, what kind of harvest did you all experience and what kind of carryover might we have seen?
Overall, I think last year was probably just kind of an average year, maybe a little below average. So it would be a good carryover for the bucks, and you know our doe population is healthy too, and we've had a good fawn crop the past year or two, so ought to be plenty of doe out there as well.
You know, your district was where a lot of the regulations were tested, proven, and then taken statewide, and part of that is the antler restriction.
Yes, sir.
Tell us what the age class, what it was on the harvest before the antler restriction, and what y'all are seeing now, what kind of age class we're taking.
So the antler regulations, the experiment started in 2002, and prior to that, pretty much 80% of the harvest was the bucks, was 80%, 2.5 or younger, with most of those being year and a half old bucks and only some of them being 2.5. So right. We've pretty much completely flipped that over to where about 80% of the harvest now is 3.5 and older bucks.
Wow. You all have doe days. Explain that and when that occurs.
So we have a four-day, you know, outside of your normal archery season, during the general gun season, we have a four-day doe season that's centered around Thanksgiving, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So this year, I believe it's like the 27th through the 30th. If you're not a property that gets MLD permits and you're hunting off your hunting license, you're allowed to harvest two doe during that time. And then we're also kind of new as far as regulations. We got mandatory reporting for the does during those days. Anytime you should harvest a doe, now we have mandatory reporting so that we have a better idea how many we're harvesting.
Outstanding. While we're talking about white-tailed deer, one of their favorite forages, on the mass crop, acorns, what is it looking like for this year?
So I've questioned my staff over the past day or two, and pretty much all of them are saying at least average to above average, and the acorns being, you know, average size. Get down close towards Brazoria and Matagorda County, my biologist down there says the oak trees are just loaded. But everybody else is pretty much average.
Yeah, Bobby, another critter that is certainly so susceptible to weather conditions. How are we doing for quail?
So this year, our quail lines, which most of our quail are in the coastal plain, but our quail lines, I believe, showed a little over four calls per line, with the 15-year average being, you know, somewhere between 7 and 8. So the surveys were down a little. You know, we haven't had much rain in our district, but most of the rain we did get was late May, June, and then the first week of July. So rain in our part of the country, too much rain during that time can definitely hurt our recruitment and our nesting success. So I'm not sure if that's what happened or what, but we are a little bit below the 15-year average on quail.
All right, talking about quail, let's shift to another ground-nesting bird, Rio Grande turkey, and you're in kind of a transition zone from eastern bird, Rio Grande hybrids. What do turkey look like in your area?
Generally, where there's habitat, there's good turkey. I mean, you get, of course, DeWitt County is not really in my district anymore, but you know, the southern part of Lavaca, DeWitt County, down through there, populations always hold steady and do well. The rest of our counties, like I said, they're just kind of spotty, more along your big drains are areas where you have heavier post-oak woodlands. But like I said, they're holding steady. Now that we've been doing the harvest reporting on them, you know, Lavaca and Fayette and Colorado County usually have decent amounts, probably a little more harvested than maybe what we thought before harvest reporting came in. So, you know, that means that, and it's been consistent. So, you know, means we got decent populations out there.
One of the things that we've seen over the years is a change in agricultural practices. We've seen more rooftops going up on property that once produced crops.
Right.
When it comes to waterfowl, you know, relying more heavily, I guess, on stock ponds and lakes, things of that nature, what shape are those in for accepting winter arriving waterfowl?
Well, you know, I wrote a hunting forecast way back in June, and at that time we were getting a lot of rain. So I was like, oh, there's going to be a lot of water on the landscape this season. But man, since probably about July 10th or so, we have turned off extremely dry through most of our district. So a lot of the stock ponds are hurting. They don't really have, you know, ideally they draw down a little bit. You'd get some vegetation growing in them, and then they'd get water back in them. I don't think they're going to be too good this year. And the reports I got on the early till season was hit and miss, with most hunts being more on the missing side and a few being on the, you know, pretty good side. But hit and miss, but mainly miss.
Coming up, we've got obviously the general season we're looking at. Bow hunters are out in the field. Address how important it is to take those surplus doe and cull bucks, whatever you're going to do, population management, off the property, even in a good, you know, forage year.
It's just good to get your does off. You know, the earlier the better. There's, you know, the whole thing you're trying to do is keep more vegetation out there and more nutrition for the ones you're trying to keep. So it makes sense to take deer off the range early. So for bow hunters, you know, if you get a chance to get your doe or does, you know, that's encouraged. Same with cull bucks. Of course, here, you know, cull bucks, you still got to fit them into the antler regulation.
Right.
Overall, we always encourage to get them early, but it, you know, I hunt too, and it's hard to shoot a doe when it's 90 degrees outside. But you need to do it.
Absolutely. One final thing. Late 80s, I guess. No, it was early 80s at my father-in-law's ranch out in Colorado County. Was so excited when I saw a sounder of hogs.
Ah.
And Big John said, "Oh, Bill, no." And yeah. I learned a lesson. What's the hog population like?
I mean, they're always there. Right now, once it being dry, you know, they seem to probably be more limited to the riparian areas and areas that do. Of course, we do got a lot of stock ponds that, even though they're low on water, that kind of scatters water across the landscape. But we've got plenty, and I wish we didn't have plenty. So harvest those as well.
Very good. Our guest has been Bobby Eichler from LaGrange. Great, great part of the state. Great hunting opportunities. Good folks. Bobby, we appreciate you joining us on Texas Outdoor News today.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Friends, we'll be back with more Texas Outdoor News right after this.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
DAV helps veterans of every generation to get the benefits they've earned.
To see Alex learning to snow ski, that's life-changing.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Never fight if you can avoid it. But when you must fight, don't lose. And when nothing less than freedom is at stake, we fight. We're millions of people just like you. We're the longest standing civil rights organization in the U.S. Proud defenders of history's patriots. Protectors of the Second Amendment. Advocating the right to keep and bear arms. Advancing the shooting sports, championing gun safety, education, and training, creating a vital legacy by answering freedom's call. And we're growing stronger every day. We are the NRA, and the NRA is you. Join forces with the 5 million men and women of the NRA and make a stand for freedom today. Sign up now at joinnra.com.
It's time for the outdoor calendar on Texas Outdoor News. What do we got, Harold?
Well, we got Ducks. October 14th, Sabine Chapter Ducks Unlimited Fundraising Banquet in Orange, held at the 10 Top 2 Arena and Event Center. October 14th, 45th Annual Palestine Chapter Ducks Unlimited Banquet in Palestine, held at the Youth and Livingston Event Center of Anderson County. Again, October 14th, Taylor Chapter Ducks Unlimited Fundraising Banquet in Taylor at the Knights of Columbus Hall. October 15th, 63rd Annual San Antonio Chapter of DU. Their banquet's held at the Security Service Event Center. And for information on all of those, go to ducks.org. October 18, 19, High Plains Mallard Management Unit, first split regular season. For info on this, go to your Texas Parks and Wildlife Annual. And then go events or hunting or fishing in your new Ford truck.
Folks, there's a number of reasons why I'm so partial to Ford trucks. One is they're built Ford tough, and that means they're dependable. In fact, there are more Ford F-Series trucks on the road with over 250,000 miles than any other brand. Ford F-Series has been the number one selling truck in America for 48 years running and is the number one selling truck in Texas. Ford F-Series trucks have the best-in-class towing and payload and are the strongest trucks on the road. So do yourself a favor and stop by one of the 275 best-in-Texas Ford dealers and find out for yourself what Built Ford Tough really means.
When we're out amongst them, we need light. Hybrid Lights are our official mobile lighting provider. They have flashlights, headlamps, work lights, lanterns, more kits that contain like one of each. They charge with a USB cord or any light source, including the sun, and they hold a charge for 7 years. Plus, they can be used to charge your phones and other devices. So for 20% off any of their products, free same-day shipping, go to hybridlight.com and at checkout, add the discount code TEXAS20. Again, 20% off, free same-day shipping, hybridlight.com.
Want to thank our guests today, Mason Conley from Tyler and Bobby Eichler from LaGrange. Folks, we've covered 4 of the 11 districts. More to come.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, we've got Sam Harriman from the Panhandle. Not sure who we're going to pair him with. And then the following week, we're going to go to Big Country again. James Weaver out in Canyon and Derek Walters in Georgetown.
A lot of stuff.
A lot of stuff coming your way.
A lot of information. Do remember, we're brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers and Spear Ag and The Blind. Check our website out, TexasOutdoorNews.com, is a list of our wonderful affiliate stations. Plus, you can play the shows there. They're all archived. Just tap on Listen to Our Show. So whether you're on the water or in the field, remember, be safe out there so you can join us again next week. Same time, same station for more Texas Outdoor News.